The challenge in a successful family business is learning how and when to trust outsiders with the family legacy. My guest today has mastered that transition. This is YPO 10 Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, growthinstitute.com. YPO member Peter Jessamine is the president of Bison Transport, the largest transportation and logistics company in Canada with over $700 million in annual sales and 3,000 employees. The Truckload Carriers Association named Bison one of the best fleets to drive for and also North America's safest fleet for 10 years running. Peter is also a board member of several for-profit and non-profit corporations, including Seven Oaks Hospital Foundation Council and the United Way of Winnipeg. Through the Jessamine Foundation, Peter supports DASH, a Winnipeg organization dedicated to providing housing and resources for special needs adults. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
So, Peter, this has been the only company you've really worked at.
It is.
What were some of the biggest challenges moving from a smaller family-owned business to now thousands of employees and making sure that you stay on top and it stays on top?
We've always thought, you know, there's really two ways to run a business. One, you run it yourself. You're the owner, you're the CEO, you make the final decisions. You don't make all the decisions, but you make the final decisions, just the biggest decisions. And that's how maybe you want to spend your time. What we had decided very early in the going, I've got to give my father great credit for this, is he had always wanted the business to be run by professional management. So his role would be more as an owner and less as a day-to-day manager. And so we hired professionals in each of the functional areas and empowered them to do what they were going to do in running and building the business. Because of our philosophy of hiring professional managers, this for me has always been just about the people. I've got to find good people. We've got to be able to keep good people. We've got to be able to motivate and incentivize good people. We have virtually no turnover in the highest levels of the organization. It really is a people business. And to get to where we are, obviously we've had fantastic management who have been great leaders, great on the execution side. And, you know, really fast growing part of our business now is the non-asset based logistics side of the business right now. So that is typically a different type of person that we're after. That's more technology centric.
Can you explain that? Non-asset based logistics.
So non-asset based is, think of transportation and logistics management, essentially. So that's not trucks and trailers and warehouses and stuff like that. That's really information, the information around logistics. So we're managing more of the transportation and shipping process for customers. So we've got to bring technical solutions to the table to be able to do that.
So you're monitoring outside contractors and just helping them with the system itself.
You got it. We have over 2,500 carriers in our network, in our system that we manage. We manage freight for companies all across North America. Total of about 45% of our business is US based. So we really truly are a North American company. We don't do business outside of North America, but we're almost a 50-50 split between a Canadian and US base.
How do you sell in a commodity business like that? I mean, this is not something new. It's hard to differentiate. The basis is, are you going to get my stuff there on time? And then other than price, what levers can you pull in order to pull a client from someone else?
Sure. It turns out there's quite a few. I've always loved the description of our business and our industry as a commodity business. And in fact, I tell anybody who's sort of looking to get into the business, I say, yeah, you never want to do this. It's terrible. It's a commodity business. You can't make great returns in this business. In fact, we've found the exact opposite to be true. We've found there are a lot of differentiators. There's things that we can do in terms of our geographical coverage. There was not a lot of carriers who were willing to go to the places that we were willing to go to. It turns out that shipping to Canada, just the sheer size of the geography and the temperature. And so a lot of companies really, from an American standpoint, have always thought of shipping to Canada. We're great friends and everything, but they think shipping to Canada really is kind of a pain in the butt. And so to find a service provider who would be willing to go coast to coast and kind of go anywhere and had high service levels, we've always thought our service was a major differentiator. As it turns out, safety is a major differentiator. So there's a lot of things that we have been able to do that have enabled us to grow. And that's basically the approach that we took in the 90s as we started growing the business.
Let's talk about your safety record for a moment. We've spoken with other types of companies that have fleets and they struggle. They struggle with getting their drivers to stop texting and getting them to do the things that they're supposed to be doing. especially on long-haul trucking. How have you managed to have a higher level of safety and a low turnover, as I understand it, relative to the rest of the industry?
Extremely low turnover relative to the industry, and we're the safest large fleet in North America 10 years in a row now. That's of all large transportation companies, literally the safest fleet in North America. We've won it so many times, they're practically naming the safety awards after us now. So we've designed our entire culture around safety. You know, what used to be a Christmas or holiday party is now our annual safety awards. We're the first company to base our pay entirely around safe driving. So you don't just get paid per mile, you get paid per safe mile. Every award that we give out is for safe miles. Drivers really protect their safe mile. The truck drivers are among the proudest people you will ever meet in your life. They're proud of their equipment, and they're proud of their record, and they're proud of driving safely. And we've had a zero tolerance policy, for instance, on hours of work violation. So if you're driving illegally, you don't stay with us. And I'm not sure there are many other fleets that have done that. So everything in our business has been geared around safety. That was a decision that we made, and it's an expensive one. I mean, that has come at a very significant cost. You know, the simulator, we were the first company in Canada to run a full simulation program. So we have full motion truck simulators in our major terminals. Drivers have to go through full simulation training at least once a year, essentially being recertified as drivers. It may sound a bit harsh, but it allows us to make sure our team is staying fully current and is just aware, and we're constantly reinforcing the safety message. The bigger story is it's just part of our values. It's just part of who we are. And as it turns out, by getting the best drivers, by getting the safest drivers, they are one and the same. The best drivers are the safest drivers. It pays benefits for us.
You talk about the company being professionally managed. So how do you look at the difference between an owner-managed business and a professionally managed business? And what do you have to say to those in family businesses who want to move that way?
You know, I probably get asked this more than any other question. People say, how can you trust people with your baby? You know, this is your business, or in my case, my father's business originally, now my sister Heather and I as co-owners of the business. How can we trust other people with making major, major decisions that are going to have a really material impact on our business, our nest egg? And trust is a huge part of it. And that's why I said, there's no bigger decision that we make than people. And anybody looking to move from a manage it yourself model, where you're making all the decisions, or certainly the final decisions, the biggest decisions, to a model where they are bringing other people in to manage their business or multiple businesses, you've got to be really, really good at picking people. You've got to really know who you can and can't trust.
Any quick tips for that?
For us, we tend to base everything around our culture. That for us is our secret sauce. And so the fit has to be there from a cultural standpoint first. We have a certain way we want this business to be and to grow. We have a very, very high ethical standard, and we're very involved in our communities. We're very involved in philanthropic endeavors. We want our people rolling up their sleeves and getting involved in all of those areas. And that's really what we've got. And so we have tended to attract people who kind of feel and think the same way. So for us, it's a cultural fit first and foremost. And I would advise anyone making this type of a decision that that's where it has to start. If there isn't a fit there, then no harm, no foul, just move on to the next candidate. But that for us is the biggest decision right there.
Peter, it's time for our rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
What's keeping you up at night?
Name three of your personal core values.
Integrity first, compassion. And number three, probably the thing that keeps me and most every business person going, would be curiosity.
Who's had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My father, for sure. You know, we just talked about core values. He exemplifies, in fact, all three of those. I mean, he's just been a tremendous role model.
What's your favorite business book?
Salim Ismail wrote a book, Exponential Organizations. It's a really, really great look at what's going on in the world and how fast things are changing in business. I highly recommend it.
What are you reading right now?
The Social Conquest of Earth by Edward O. Wilson. Who are we? Where did we come from? Where are we going as a species? Group selection versus kin selection. Are we going to achieve more in a group or as individuals? Really a fascinating read.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Integrity.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Ego.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
Tenacity. things are changing so fast. The game is changing constantly, and you got to be prepared to make mistakes. You got to be able to get up off the mat when you make a wrong decision and get back at it.
Name one trait that makes an employee valuable.
Tenacity is a big one.
What's your strangest daily habit?
I'd tell you, but I'd have to kill you. So.
What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
Let people grow, let them learn, celebrate their successes with them, celebrate their failures with them.
We certainly want to celebrate you being on the show. Thank you so much, Peter.
Kevin, I really appreciate it. Thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member J.D. Ewing, who will share how his entrepreneurial grandmother saved her family by starting a business in the basement of a bar. I'm Kevin Dom, and you're listening to YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit ypo.org.